Hi, this is Rosie Langhorn, and you're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive.
Thank you, Rosie. Well, it's another summer special for Midweek Drive vets around the globe, and we have a new Midweek Drive vet in the studio, as promised. Yes, we might be, in a slightly different studio, 126 miles north of Lincoln, but we've got Richard Bellis with us. How are you, Richard?
I'm good.
Excellent. That's what we'd like to hear. Up on the programme today, William Coles, Victor Vanacore, Ian Lennox, Kaylee Carr, Katie Grimerson and Phil Leonis from Los Angeles, and maybe, just maybe, Joseph Hansen and his mum. About that is its innate individualized optimism. This is going to be the best day of my life, and that's pretty much the mantra for Bill Coles, isn't that right, Bill?
Yes, I am a pretty upbeat kind of guy.
Precisely. How else could you swim the Bosporus to write some top ace romantic fiction and still enjoy the delights of the Edinburgh International Festival? Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic, I believe, is making his way there. He's already been blown away by the Edinburgh side of things. What sort of things have you been attending so far, William?
I have been attending last night Benjamin Clementine, who's a singer, pretty offbeat stuff that my wife introduced me to. But yeah, he blew me away. And Dominic Holland, who I mentioned to you last week, who's the father of Spider-Man, Tom Holland, mm-hmm. and has been his career as a stand-up has been completely eclipsed by his son. Whatever he does, he knows that his son is the superstar.
Well, sometimes parents are very difficult to bring into the world, William. And I should leave it at that. In the studio, we have a newbie as far as the Midweek Drive is concerned, so the honour of being his first ever Midweek Drive programme. It's Richard Bellis.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Welcome.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Richard has experienced a few other programmes on Siren Sister Station, but this is the first time he's been on Lincoln's first community radio station, currently broadcasting from our studios in Southside Broadcasting up in Teesside. I know it's all very confusing, but that is... I mean, Richard, in terms of what you explain to William, what sort of things you do to fill your time as somebody who was born in the 20th century, in fact, in the year 1997, William. So, you know, he's getting on, really.
Yes, I'm 20 this year.
There you go. Anyway.
Yes, but I fill my time with basically YouTube, watching YouTube and making animations for YouTube. Lego animations, that is.
A keen Ray Harryhausen aficionado, which is quite interesting from that point of view. William, would you like to take over the interviewing mantle and just quiz young Richard on life, the universe, going to the University of Teesside, and indeed other sort of exciting things? And who knows, he may even end up going to Lincoln as well. It's just amazing. We can't say anything else at this stage. He could end up in Sunderland. We don't know what's going to happen. Over to you, William.
Hey, Richard, so you're doing this animation stuff, is that right?
Yes, yes.
So... am I right in saying that it takes about 3 days to do 5 seconds of animation, or has it changed a bit with computers?
Well, that's in, like, the big productions, like the Aardman and Wallace and Gromit and things, but me, I don't do as many frames, so I can do, I think I do 10 frames a second.
Yeah, sure. So that is quite a long project then. It's, for me, I need a much quicker, hit than slogging away for a day and having, whatever, 20 seconds of stuff.
Yes, it is a bit time-consuming, but, you know, as a student, I do have a lot of time on my hands. I've currently finished working on a project that's about 6.5 minutes long, and it's taken me a good, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks to finish, and I still haven't finished editing it yet.
Wow. Well, so do you write the scripts yourself?
Yes, I do the storyboards and the scripts and everything myself.
And what are the stories about?
I do anything, really. I mean, I'm a big fan of Western films, so I'm currently doing a Wild West, battle... cowboys and Indians and things, but I've done bank robberies, Godzilla, monster films, anything.
Yeah.
Right, and the dream must be to get to Pixar, isn't it? I mean, they are the kings of the whole business.
Yes, Pixar or Aardman, maybe, working on Wallace and Gromit, that'd be good.
My wife used to work with Tony Hart. You're much too young to know, but he used to have a program called Take Heart. And anyway, all the Aardman people, the first thing they had to do was make a morph. Do you know a morph?
Yes.
That was the first project you had to do before you could join the Aardman team, was make a morph. Can you do that thing?
Well, I could give it a go.
Well, okay, before you go along then for the Aardman interview, you need to be able to knock these out in 5 minutes flat, and that will be, I think that's still part of their test before you can join the team.
It's kind of like the animation equivalent of knowing shorthands to join Sky Sports, really. It's that kind
yes.
of Now, you mentioned YouTube. Do you have your own channel, Richard, on YouTube?
Yes, I do.
So how, now that I'm actually on YouTube, to my right-hand side here, what things do I need to type in to go to your channel?
Type in Dwarven Lego.
Dwarven Lego?
Yes, Dwarven Lego.
D-W-A-R-V-E-N?
Yes.
As in belonging to dwarves?
Yes.
Richard, feel for this. I might have one or two. It's Dwarven Lego I'm going to be chasing up whilst you're continuing this chat, because clearly Lego and dwarves could be a show for next week's Edinburgh Festival, or next year's Edinburgh Festival, and indeed possibly a theme for another one of your books.
Or Lego Dwarves, yes, rather. So Dwarven Lego is small Lego, is that right?
We've chose the name because, me and my brother, we were into fantasy stuff at the time, but we've sort of moved on from that, and
I have now got Dwarven Lego. Sorry, an exciting update here.
Yep.
Is it the one which has a Lego chap with a kind of moustache looking a bit like a cowboy? Is
yep, that the one? That's the one.
I'm now going to click on that. Well, William, so keep going. This is very exciting.
Okay. Keep going on Dwarven Lego. Yes! Where did you get such an amazing name where you have to spell it out every time you say it to somebody?
Oh, well, I don't know, we couldn't think of a name, but we wanted one that was, like, catchy, and because we were into lots of fantasy stuff at the time, like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, so we just thought, oh, dwarves, that's catchy. No one's thought of that name before.
I've now reached the channel trailer for Dwarven Lego, a Dwarven Lego production. It's running in the background here. It's exciting things here. We've got all sorts of it. Now, talk us through, Richard. What have we actually got here? What are we seeing? We seem to be civil war. We seem to be seeing battles.
Yes, this is a montage of all my films. It's you're seeing right now a James Bond film, gangster films, more gangsters, more James Bond, knights and fantasy stuff. That's a big one of mine. Civil War stuff. I like that as well. Cowboys and Indians.
It's quite frankly, Richard, almost guaranteed to stop people watching the Diana tapes and simply turn and say, "We want to watch Dwarven Lego." It's just amazing.
I wish they did.
Man, such excitement. You know, what other radio show at this particular time would actually be running Dwarven Lego shows on YouTube?
But for a quirk of fate, it could have been Goblins.
Yes, Goblin Lego. Maybe that's the rival channel.
Troll Lego, right.
It's a strange and bizarre honeymoon that we've actually got upon us, but still, life continues. We've talked a bit about some of the excitements of the Edinburgh Fringe. We're going to talk a bit more about that. Richard, musical choice for your good self. Would you like Every Breath You Take with The Police, or would you like a touch of Season of the Witch from the movie Dark Shadows, with, of course, a whole range of fine folk coming in, including Donovan?
Ooh. I have no idea. I'd guess
which one would you advise him to do, William? Would you advise him to go Police?
Go for The Police, definitely.
Yeah, I was going to go for The Police.
Go for The Police, marvellous. Obviously, that's not an editorial statement. It's just an observation. course, the great thing about the police is you can multitask, or at least Richard Bellis can also multitask, because in the time that we've been listening to Sting and Andy Summers and, of course, the other soul from the police, I know, we always forget the drummer. We have actually managed to welcome another fine soul to the studio. Richard went to reception to actually collect successfully a young man by the name of Joseph Hansen. Good afternoon, Joseph Hansen. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Excellent. So, Joseph, share with William Coles, who's online at present from Edinburgh, and indeed Richard Bellis, why your good self and your mum, who's currently just sort of taking a comfort break before she joins us in the studio, why are you actually with us on the Midweek Drive?
Because I love, like, media and everything to do with media. I want to be, like, a film director when I'm older, and I do, like, a weekly radio show with someone that's down at Tuned In in Red Car.
And Tuned In at Red Car takes place in which institution? Where is it? Where is Tuned In?
Red Car.
So that's right. That's it.
Yeah.
Do you say, I'm thinking already here, William, that we've got a possibility here of getting the filmmakers of tomorrow together for Dwarven Lego. Joseph, have you ever encountered Dwarven Lego, the YouTube site?
No.
Well, that's a treat that he's got in store for him, isn't it, Richard?
Yes.
It's great stuff here. William, would you like to take over the interviewing scenarios and quiz young Joseph Hansen, who's got his headphones on? He's all sorted there when it comes to this. You've already got a little snidgy at him there. He's from the place called Redcar. It's a northern town.
Yes, I know Redcar. Hello, Joseph. That's a fantastic age to know what you want to be doing, to be a director, because the sooner you get into it, the better.
I think you probably turned your headphones up a little bit too much there, or you might have turned the wrong set of headphones up. He's gone for the set. Are we okay? Otherwise, could he be doing a howl round? Okay, I think we're all right now. Did you get the question there?
No.
Could you say it again, please, William, so we can actually hear what it's all about?
What a great age to be getting into, have already decided that you want to be a film director. What's the plan? Are you going to get yourself out to Hollywood as soon as you can?
Hopefully, yes.
That's where all the action is, I understand. So what was the film you saw, or what was the moment when which decided you and made you think, yeah, that's what I want to do?
I didn't really see a film that I liked to make me choose that direction. It was just like, I just like old films, I just like behind the scene, because I used to do drama, and I just wanted to take that route.
Right, so how are you going to go about becoming a director? Are you going down the writing route, or are you just going to start directing stuff small and hope you get noticed?
Probably the second one there.
Right, so you'll be making shorts like Richard then?
Yeah.
And what kind of stuff are you going to be doing?
Whatever I can do to try and get noticed.
Okay, any jokes in there as well? Do you do comedy too?
No, not really.
So the plan then is to get out a film which goes viral. And what do you think the key is to getting something out that is going to go viral?
Pardon?
What is the key to getting one of your films to go viral? To get it watched by millions of people?
Probably, like, post it on, like, the internet or something like that.
Which is where, of course, Dwarven Lego comes on. It's you know, sometimes you just have to work our way through it. I tell you what, we've got another fine soul who's managed to locate the little broom cupboard that we refer to here at Sirens Northern Studio, Seaside Broadcasting. And that, I believe, Joseph, is your mum. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
That would be Mrs. Hansen.
Yes.
Would you like to come into the studio, please, and just sort of join us on this, because your son's already been faced with a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Come in, have a seat next to Richard, and we'll get ourselves through here. All the stress and the strains, etc. A bit close to the microphone, otherwise somehow we're talking our way through this. And now, William, you've got a chance now to actually quiz. Can we have a first name? Because I think
Debbie.
Yes. Indeed, you've got a chance to actually speak to Debbie Hansen, mother of the filmmaker extraordinaire, and indeed Red Car DJ that is Joseph Hansen. actually born in the 21st century, I believe, Joseph.
Yes.
So, you see, this is what I was talking about this morning, Richard. You're a 20th century person, I'm a 20th century person, Debbie, obviously, 20th century person, Joseph, 21st century. So he doesn't know 20th century history. Anyway, Debbie's all set up and lined up with headphones and so on, so you can quiz Debbie William on the basis of how she's coping with Joseph Hansen's dramatic dreams.
So, hi, Debbie.
Hi.
So you're the designated chauffeur, aren't you? And you're ferrying Joseph Brown to all these interviews and everything else, anything else he needs to do. Will you be taking him off to Los Angeles soon?
Of course.
Or will he be going by himself?
No, I'll carry his bags for him.
Well, I should hope so, because you realise that we are going to Los Angeles not once but twice today, actually. So I've got two links with Los Angeles. First of all, Grammy Award-winning composer arranger Victor Vanacore, and then Phil Lynn as a director and producer in Los Angeles. So, you know, we're not jesting here, Debbie. You could well be on the flight next week, so...
Oh, sorry, I've come in late into the interview and I've missed the beginning, sorry.
No, it'll all slot together. That's the important thing. Debbie, have you got any questions? Have you ever been up to Edinburgh?
No.
No. William, why should Debbie, mother of Joseph Hansen, ensure that they have a trip to Edinburgh in the very near future?
It's an incubator for talent. If you've got a lad who is aspiring to get into movies, then it's the place to make all these contacts. Because you can do a really good movie or have a really good idea, but you actually need the contacts to make it work. And Edinburgh is the place for all these contacts. So get yourself up here.
Right. Interesting.
Even though, as we've just found out, William, even though you're based in Edinburgh, and indeed you were the Washington correspondent for the Sun newspaper, and indeed are an ace writer, even you've heard of Redcar, which I think is very good, and it'll be applauded for that. I went through it today, actually, on the journey from Saltburn, and it's nice to see, Debbie, that Redcar is still as unfriendly to traffic as it ever is, has been. It's fantastic. It's just, traffic and travel routine, if you're happy to be listening to this, wherever the world, if you're going through Redcar and you decide to take the seafront route, be prepared to have lots of stops in front of, and even when the lights are on green, the cars don't move. It's amazing.
You can take in the scenery en route.
Exactly.
Is that the best thing you can say about Redcar, that it's unfriendly to traffic?
Of course not, William. I mean, it used to be a place I thoroughly enjoyed, although it's fair to say that Redcar's never quite reached the sort of heights of Saltburn, has it?
No, it's got lots of potential, but unfortunately not at the moment.
A few licks of paint. It struck me a bit like Blackpool when I was there today, actually. A bit like,
minus the rock.
Exactly. But, you know, you've still got some sort of nice ones. You've got lifeboats that are around there.
Good beach.
Yep. And, of course, you've got the lovely sight of the windmills going round and round on the thing, which is a fantastic eyesore.
I just look the other way.
Yeah, it's genius. It's fantastic. It's comedy gold. William, as you can see, our team in the studio, at least, is complete. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I've had a wonderful telephonic experience. I always do.
Splendid. As I say, not one, not two. Actually, as far as the Midweek Drive's concerned, because Richard's been on other shows, of course, three complete newbies, which is wonderful. So are you back next week when we'll be having another three newbies to the studio who come from the Askham Bryan Project at Stewart Park in Middlesbrough? And Askham Grange will be represented in force then. Will you be back with us for more details about Edinburgh life and so on?
Absolutely. I'll be in like Flynn.
She'll never slip away.
Splendid, Blondie and Slow Motion. See what we did there, Richard? We kind of gave a little angle to the whole notion of slow motion, etc. I guess a little plug for your website once again. You can go to Dwarven Lego. That's D-W-A-R-V-E-N, Lego as in the Danish company. And a fine thing is to be had by all, though. I'm still very impressed with this.
Yes.
I'd certainly recommend, Joseph, that if you want to see a website for filmmakers, Dwarven Lego. The place, the YouTube channel to go to, basically. Not so much words thought, the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Debbie, back in the day, doing the whole notion of Dwarven Lego, who would have thought it, eh? You know, back in the 20th century, would have had these kind of strange things going. Who would have thought as well that we would have had a Facebook group that had actually put together a radio drama come musical, which encompassed D'Amelia Denton from Australia, obviously our very own Penny Evans from Derbyshire, and a whole heap of others who put this little maestro together, whole stack of episodes. We are about to broadcast episode 2 of Marauder for your edification and delight, and then, fingers crossed, we'll be speaking to Ian Lennox in Tyneside.
You're quick to take the bait, Grunt. You could be heading off on a wild goose chase. And don't forget, I got onto this first. You ain't going nowhere without me. This treasure ain't gonna be easy to find. Dead men don't talk unless they leave clues. Old Palenka was tight-lipped. Must have been smart or just plain stupid. Walked the plank. And still kept his gab shut.
Yeah, well, I reckon he left something somewhere on Clubfoot's clipper. All we have to do is find it. We got nothing to lose, but plenty to gain. There's gotta be something somewhere, and we're gonna find it.
And what are you floating in? You ain't got no ship.
I know that, but I ain't stupid. I've got plans. And by 0:30, we'll be on our way. And well out to sea when the sun rises. I'll tell you later. Not here. Ears are flapping. Look at them! They'll all be flying if their ears flap any faster.
Evening, Bucko. I hear you're looking for a crew. I may be interested. Fill me ears. I'm listening.
I'm not answering that here, matey. We'll talk in the office.
Now listen here, Blunt. We ain't filling your ears with nothing. Either you want in or you don't. Not trusting no one. Mention booty and all semen going to the shark feeding frenzy. What's it gonna be? Are you in or out?
I'm in, but remember this. I ain't no carouser like most of them around here. Don't double-cross me or I'll have your guts for garters.
That's enough from you two. I'm calling the shots here. Place your mark here, Blunt, and be here at 0:30. Now get out! I got business to attend to. Flash, get in here!
Aye, aye, Captain. What can I do you for?
Get Get out there and make sure Clubfoot is getting a gutful. Keep him coming until he drops.
He'll be snoring nicely before you know it. Don't worry about a thing. At your service, Captain. Always a pleasure doing business with you. Sign me up. I ain't missing no action. You know me. Fast, courageous, and willing. Not sure about the able.
Shut up, Flash. And get to work. And while you're at it, tell Fanny to send the kid in. I've got something I need him to take care of.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Grunt. Where did that kid come from?
I found him on the street. Hungry, alone, and nowhere to go. No family or nothing. Only about maybe 10 years old. He doesn't even know his age. I felt sorry for him. So I brought him here to the inn for Fanny to look after. She always wanted kids and never had them. She's been like a bee, with honey fussing, pampering, and mothering. But I've got plans for the kid.
Fanny, Captain wants the kid. Better get him in there.
But he is sleeping. He's right here under the bar. See?
Well, you better wake him up fast. Captain's in no mood for waiting. Give me a run for Clubfoot, will you? I gotta keep him busy.
All right. But I am not happy about this. Transit has much to learn when it comes to little ones. Streety, wake up. Captain warns you. He's in the storeroom.
Do I have to? I'm tired.
Did you say the captain wants me? Let me up. I'm coming, Captain.
I want you to put a hat and coat on. Because you're going out on a job for me. Go down to the dock and sneak on board Clubfoot Clipper. Find out if anyone is there. Tell them you're hungry and that you're looking for Captain Clubfoot. Once you know what's going on, tell them you have to go. And report back to me immediately.
They've got stocks. I know, because I heard Clubfoot telling someone earlier that he's loading up the ship, ready to leave dock tomorrow.
Seems like he won't be going nowhere. Smart kid. You picked a good one there, Grunt.
Good evening, gents. Hello, laddie. Let me introduce myself. Groper Scapegoat, at your service.
And what service might that be, Scapegoat?
Ex-naval seaman. Discharged. It was a bit of bother, but that's another story. I don't want to bore you. I'm looking to sign up if you'll have me. I'm ever so useful, in many ways. Excuse me, Captain, there's something unappealing on your jacket. I'll just step over and rid you of it.
Get your cotton-picking hands off me, you slimy son of a bitch! I'll tell you when and what to do. Now sign here, and be ready to board ship at midnight. Be back before then, or you're up the crew.
I'm ever so reliable. I'll be here. Don't worry about a thing. Always willing to please in many ways. Can I get you something, Captain? Can I assist in any way? Perhaps a little nourishment or rum?
Hey! Famous Fable! Where are you? I know you're in here somewhere. No sense hiding. Up to your old tricks as usual. Well, you can get your one-eyed trouser snake out of here, away from that floozy. What's her name? There she is, there, over in the corner. Lushy the husband collector. You're not adding my man to your collection.
What? I ain't done nothing. Not yet, anyway. Have I, Jen?
That's what you say.
Shut your gob, Italian. That's right. Don't all speak up at once. Hopeless, you lot. No help to a damsel in distress.
And what do we have here, of course? Snuffy Attic. Well, your missus is gonna hear about this. That's it. Run and hide like your mate, Venus. You and Venus have only been home 3 days, and all you've been good for is leaving your calling card. which will probably only add to the mouths to feed. And no surprise, Clubfoot drunk in the corner with another so-called seaman. Let me think, who are you? Yeah, that's right, Picket Flash. Nothing flash about you. You're as bad as the others. No wonder you're all so useless. Go and just see with that drunken fool Clubfoot. I'm not telling you again, Venus Feeble. Get home, and you too, Attic.
Shh! Be quiet, Phoebes. She ain't seen ya. We gotta get out of here and away from these so-called misses of ours. We must have been mad or had a skinful to get stuck with them. I'm signing up for this mystery trip right now. Can't be any worse than what we've done before. Are you coming?
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, I'm coming. You took the words straight out of me mouth. I'll stick your head around the corner and see if me missus is gone.
Come out, wherever you are, boys. I'm waiting. I'm always waiting.
Pour me another, Lushy. I need it. Snuffy and me are signing up with Grunt and Omnox. That treasure might be our ticket out of this harbor.
Yeah. We got things to do and things to see. There's a lot of ocean out there. The good life's waiting for us. That booty they're looking for could just be what we've been waiting for. Where do we sign up, Luce?
They're in the storeroom. Private office business, they said. Private office indeed. I'm thinking I might join this crew myself.
What? Grunt won't want any wench joining the crew. Focus is treasure, not pleasure.
Stop with your stupid ideas, Lushy. What am I supposed to do? If you are gone, I have no one to help in the inn. Enough of your rubbish. Madness of men is no place for a woman.
We'll see about that. I'm not pussy when it comes to adventure. Sounds like fun to me. Never know what might happen or what can come of it. Might be husband waiting.
It ain't gonna happen, Luce. You're crazy. Come on, matey. Let's get in there. No time to waste. That treasure's waiting for us.
Evening, ladies and gents. Sailing tonight. Aye, in a few hours. Still got plenty of time for drinking and singing. I just happened to have my squeeze box with me and I thought I'd sing you a little ditty. Now don't be shy. Join in the chorus. Here we go.
Sing the song of pirate splurge, booty split, perhaps you've heard. Pirate's tale of treasure hunt, trickery may be incurred. Buckle's thoughts are seamen's dreams, hang the jib and guzzle rum. Sign your mark, join up if keen. Dublin's, Dublin's, the fiddle is green. Dublin's, 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 the fiddle is green. Dublin's, Dublin's, a pirate's life for me. Ahoy, ahoy, attention please, we're over here, come adventuring. Treasure hunt now where it be, hurry gents, cause soon we leave. We'll trace all clues efficiently, analyse with scrutiny. Cut and run dead reckoning, stay alert, don't hempeg G. Doubloons, 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 a fiddle is green. Doubloons, doubloons, a pirate's life for me. From rum and drum so heartily, we'll drink till drunk, I more I need. In amic bliss, nor sleep with ease, a pirate's life, a life to lead. Avast, all ends on deck, kiss your wench, it's time we left. Raise the sails, away we go, a pirate's life, continual jest. Doubloons, 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 a fiddle is green. Doubloons, doubloons, a pirate's life for me. Doubloons, 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 a fiddle is green. Doubloons, doubloons, a pirate's life for me.
Strangely catchy in many ways. Episode 2 of Marauders there, as mentioned, a collaboration between Australia and Italy and Denmark and America and Australia. I mentioned Australia and, of course, Derbyshire, Buxton. And that was the second episode. We might indeed have the third episode next week. Did that thrill you to the bone and have you saying shiver me timbers, Ian Lennox in Tyneside?
Well, I spent most of the time trying to get a context for it, because I was, you know, I came in about 3 minutes from the end.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that sometimes can be the ideal way of criticising something, coming 3 minutes from the end and say, aha, right, failing that, just download the podcast, it'll be up there, before you can say, I'm a pirate, don't you know? Anyway, moving on. I have in my right hand the brothers, in my left hand the 60s man. Two texts, because I always feel when we've got newbies coming to the studio, it's almost like a religious evangelical thing, in that I should actually show to both Joseph Hansen and Debbie Hansen texts that you have written, and of course Richard Bellis as well, and it'll improve all sort of things. Sadly, Joseph being 16, perhaps a bit too young for the 60s man, but maybe the brothers all about the First World War would be suitable. What say you, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I think the 60 man deals on older themes than the brothers. Although,
having said that, he lives in Redcar, so you can't get much more mature than actually sort of living in Redcar to actually get through the whole thing. Look at Tony Mowbray. Anyway, that's another thing. Ian, it falls to your good sir. I'll do the introductions. First of all, Richard Bellis, your chance to say hello to Ian Lennox.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ian.
We also have Debbie Hanson.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
And we also have Joseph Hanson.
Oh, any relation?
Strange you should say that, Ian. Yes. Mother and daughter.
Ah.
No, indeed, mother and son. Sorry, I was going transgender with you there, Joseph. It easily happens sometimes. It's 21st century, you see. Who knows? I mean, one day Debbie might be thinking, I think Joseph, it's time he became Josephine. Is it going to happen? No, maybe not.
No.
It has been pointed out, actually, by several science fiction writers, that in the next 40 years, changing your gender will be as much a matter of personal choice as choosing which kind of outfit you're going to put on in the morning. So, you know, I roll that out there as a possibility in terms of where we're having. And clearly, we will welcome all transgendered life forms, because that's the kind of station we are. Have we got the feeling that you're heading off in all sorts of different ways, Ian? I've just selected my fantasy football team. Would you like to know who I've gone for?
Manchester City.
No! Strange enough, they're off.
From start to finish.
Very tempting. Let's
go hard, perhaps, and go.
No. Hugo Lloris, Aspilicueta, Hector Bellerin, and then Leighton Baines and Ogbonna, from West Ham United, followed by Ericsson Sane in the middle of the field, Henry Mkhitaryan, and then a front three of Lukaku, Gabriel Jesus, from, of course, the only real side there, and Javier Hernandez.
Right.
Just thought I'd throw that out for you, you know, just in case people are sort of wondering, what is his fantasy football team this season? How will we not select these players? But there we are. Just put that into.
I've never played fantasy football, actually. And with following Newcastle and then being the championship.
That is a fantasy,
season,
isn't it?
I've lost track of all the, the premiership yeah. players anyway.
Well, you know, it'll all happen tomorrow with the opening game against Tottenham, or indeed by the time our Lincoln listener is listening to this, we'll know the result.
That's Sunday, actually.
Tomorrow.
You're going to kick off early. You'll probably win. We won't be taking the field at 1:30 on Sunday.
That's always important. Joseph, are you in any way, shape, or form a sporting person, or is it more a case of no? I am a radio DJ. I am what I play.
I do follow some football. I follow the Borough, but I don't really like playing sports in general.
Okay, so when you say you follow the Borough, is that with a passion? Is that a case of, to me, Gary Monk is the messiah, and anything other than Gary Monk is just, you know, a complete infidel? Or is it a case of, no, I don't care. If they're in the Premiership, I'm more of a glory hunter Borough supporter.
Probably the first one.
First one. So favourite player?
Can't really choose.
How often, you know, we're faced with that quandary, Ian, you know, favourite player, just don't have a clue.
My favourite player?
Well, yeah, who is your favourite player?
My favourite player is a chap called Huey Green. No, really? Tony Green, sorry, not Huey Green, Tony Green.
Yeah, one of these two opportunities.
Who played for Blackpool and then moved to Newcastle. I had a great pleasure of meeting him last season, actually.
Oh.
And his career was curtailed by injury, but he was one of the most exciting players I've ever seen, and gave me lots of pleasure. I was working in Manchester when Castle Sandon. I went to see his first game against Everton.
So are you saying Tony Green more exciting than Wyn Davies and Irving Natras?
Yes.
Good heavens.
Yes. For me, he was, anyway. He was one of his players who had extraordinary acceleration.
Mm.
He seemed like squirted past people. And Joe Harvey's manager, when he had injuries, when he got injured and he couldn't play anymore, he just said, they threw away the mould. And it was like that. Mm. He played in the potentially terrific Newcastle side that just never quite
and
became some of its parts.
For Debbie's benefit, Joe Harvey was the last Newcastle United manager to actually lift a trophy in 1969.
That's right.
Long before you were born, Debbie, I suspect.
No comment.
Oh, there we are. 1969, the last time actually Newcastle lifted a trophy. And I know, Ian, you'd love to celebrate that whole notion. Who knows what could happen when Rafa Benitez leaves, but still, never mind. That's okay. We started the programme with William Curls in Edinburgh, and he quizzed the ace mid-rate driver, Richard, about his YouTube channel, which, once again, Richard, is...
Dwarven Lego.
Dwarven Lego. I'll say that again, Dwarven Lego. Little teeny tiny Lego people, suitable for dwarves.
Yes.
But with lots of action and adventure stuff within that whole field. And we had a brief chat with Richard and a brief chat with Debbie, but who do you wish to speak to, Ian? Because this is where you can put your journalistic hat on, you can cast the years back to the days when you were working for the Daily Mail in that Manchester base, being patronised by Guardian writers. Even chat cats about it. Do you have any pets, by the way, Joseph? Do you have any pets in the...
No.
None at all?
No.
Not a little kitty cat?
No.
No doggy? No hamster?
I wish a dog.
Stick insect?
No.
We used to have budgies. We used to have budgies, but they died last year.
Oh. Budgies died. Right.
We had two budgies.
Okay. Anyway.
How long do budgies live for? It's not very long, is it?
Oh, they can live up to 10 years.
Really?
8 years.
Ah,
that's very good. Yeah. So, and did they have names?
Joey and Sonny.
Well, if they're listening in Heaven FM.
I know, exactly.
Joey and Sonny.
Yeah.
Is still thought of.
Yes, they are.
Still thought of, which is very good. Irreplaceable, you never consider getting some replacement budgies?
No. Their boys are grown up now.
See, the joy of actually the studio here is you can actually hear in the background the seagulls sort of chirping away as they attack the various random viewers and listeners who sort of come in on that place as well. Don't go out with a sandwich in your hand. It's going to end in disaster. Anyway, Ian, who would you like to chat to? Joseph, Debbie or Richard about life, the universe and anything you'd like to put to them?
Oh, I don't mind. I've never met any of them, so...
No. Well, they're all celebrities in the making, so they're kind of in the first tranche of the whole sort of thing. You know, Joseph Hansen... actually, Joseph, it's worth... When did you start off your radio broadcasting, Joseph?
I think 2014.
When you were?
14? 13?
13 English years of age. So he's already been doing 3 years. And give us an example.
How did you get into broadcasting at that age?
Well, it was just like, just a matter of being in the right place at the right time, because I was doing some things that tuned in and it advertised like a radio show, and I just thought, oh, that'll be like fun to do with some friends, and then I got really into it.
And what sort of radio is it? Is it talk radio or playing records radio?
Bit of both. Mainly just talking.
Yes. Is it obviously local radio, is it?
Well, it doesn't really go out anywhere, but we still make it as professional as we can.
Technically it's referred to as micro broadcasting.
So who listens to it in the end then?
Microscopic people. Is there going to be a time where CVFM will be airing the material, or do we not know? Is it?
We don't know.
Right.
They used to. They used to when they first set it up. They were for a half an hour show a week, didn't you? Hmm. But then I think the funding was a problem.
You see, what you need to do is make those programmes, submit them to Ryan Jones at Siren FM, sirenonline.co.uk, and who knows, he might sort of say, yeah, we'll happily produce it, because we do a regular thing, and then no adults allowed sort of sequence. So, you know, there is always
a larger radio station could just take a half-hour programme.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've just said, Ian.
Yeah.
This is the whole point, you know, it gives them an opportunity to actually rescue their archive material. Of course, if it's rubbish, we won't play it. But there we are. That's by the by. I just wanted to make that. I know it's harsh, Debbie, but you know, sometimes you've got to have quality thresholds.
Yep.
How else does Chris Evans get $2.5 million?
So, do you want to do it professionally in the end? Then is that your idea?
Joseph, do you want to do it professionally?
Yes.
Now, how are you going to combine that with your filmmaking Los Angeles ambitions? I mean, it is doable, but I'm just sort of interested in terms of, because you also said earlier you're quite keen on becoming a director.
Well, I just want something to do with media. I don't mind what it is, but I prefer to do, like, film directing, but radio programming, producing is probably another route that I can go down as well.
Ian, you have lectured at the University of Sunderland, you've worked within the whole field, you've directed stuff yourself, you've done a whole range of things. What advice would you give this 16-year-old wunderkind, Joseph Hansen, about securing those ambitions?
Well, the first thing is to obviously seek employment and to take any job that you can in the industry, even if it means starting at quite a low level.
Making and, tea.
But you've already done something, because you start, you know, by doing this little radio station thing, you're learning from experience as you go along. But I don't know how good the advice you'll be getting while you're doing it.
And Debbie, from your own perspective as the mother, of this, who obviously was keen and a passionate interest in the whole sort of system there, are there times where you think, oh, why can't you just actually go and be a brain surgeon and so on? Sort of thing? Why can't you do something a lot more simpler than actually sort of working in the media, etc.? Become a kind of existential psychoanalytical philosopher or something? What's your own perspective?
I'm happy as long as he's happy, and he's got talents. He likes talking a lot, and he likes media and messing about with IT's equipment and putting things together on making his own shows on laptop and everything. So I just think that's his. He's good at that.
Has he got some editing equipment at home for films and stuff?
No, we've had Window Live Movie Maker, but that's basically bog standard.
Right, so he can practice on that anyway, but I think Alex could probably give you better advice than I ever could, because...
Ian, all I just say is keep praying, that's the important thing, you know, the best.
Yeah. Keep trying, never give up.
Never give up, never surrender.
Yeah, once you give up, you've definitely have
Exactly. So, despite the setbacks, remember, every so often...
People have been successful in various things. You find that they've had it... One of the things some of them have got in common, is they've been overcome rejection, or multiple rejections, you know? There's some novelists were rejected on numerous occasions.
Even the Beatles were once rejected.
Yes.
In fact, several times, which is...
There's a guy called Joseph Heller who wrote Catch 22.
He did indeed.
It became one of the biggest selling books of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was published in New York, and because the book wasn't like the sort of typical war novel, one of the people on the main board of the publishing company wasn't very keen on it, but there was an agent, one of his esteemed agents, was really, really enthusiastic about it, and she pushed it, and I think it's quite a small print, the first print, and it sold millions in the end.
And
so you just don't know, you never
exactly.
know.
So the key thing is, effectively, our advice, Joseph, is keep going.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel as though spiritually we've been renewed now in all manner of wonderful ways. We'll be speaking very shortly to Grammy Award-winning composer, arranger and conductor Victor Vanacore, who has, as well as being related to Bruce Springsteen, also produced for the likes of Barry Manilow, Ray Charles and a whole stack of others, including Pope John Paul II. So he's going to be joining us for his debut in a matter of moments. Meanwhile, I need to ask you those last two questions, Ian, because Richard, Joseph and Debbie are not familiar with the kind of classic line, and it would be unfair, having just done the piece with William Carlson, to say, ask the last two questions, please. So, Ian Lennox, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Splendid. Are you back again in the very near future?
I hope so.
Yay! Are you ready for the dance routine? Yay!
Going, baby. Hey, I just met you, and this is cool. here's my-